there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. Happy New Year, everyone. As we wake up on the first day of this brand new year, the story I'm privileged to share today is truly inspiring. Mozzie Light Orr was born in a very remote village in Ethiopia called Kololo and adopted by an American family when she was a young child. After her mother established an elementary school in Kololo, Mozzie was inspired to start Kids for Kololo and led an incredible fundraising campaign to improve educational access by adding a middle school. Welcome back, everybody. I am super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Mozzie. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And I'm going to ask her to tell us a little bit more about herself and all about her story and her amazing project. Hi, Mozzie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Natalie. My name is Mozzie Light Orr. I'm a college freshman at Northwestern, 18 years old. And I wanted to share with you guys today about my work with Kids for Kololo and advocacy work surrounding education equity. I started a middle school. I founded a middle school in Kololo, Ethiopia, with a partnership of the TESSA Foundation, and set out with a group of my junior year classmates, junior and high school classmates, to fundraise to build a middle school. This all started many years ago. I was born in Ethiopia and adopted at age 3 and moved to Los Angeles. And I've had a wonderful life and have really enjoyed school and been very fortunate to have a lot of amazing educational opportunities. Sometime in the first 2 years after I got back, I'd been speaking with my mother and I'd remarked in passing that I'd never had a book before I came here. I was born in a very rural village in Ethiopia, and my mom is a writer and was stunned and immediately wanted to set out to remedy that. And so she looked into building a library, but quickly came to realize that literacy in Ethiopia is very low and a library is not very useful if people can't read the books inside it. And so she partnered with organizations to build a school and a library so that students could both learn to read. And so in 2012, my mom held an art auction and opened a K-4 kindergarten primary school. And all throughout the years, I've helped support that. I've worked with her on fundraisers to keep that school running. And it's been one of the most rewarding things that I've done outside of my kind of academic sphere. And in 2020, we'd all been obviously very disconnected, and I felt it quite acutely as not having been with my school community, which is where I got a lot of my engagement and my social connection. And I reached out back to my community in Ethiopia and I asked, is there anything that I can do or be in any way, can I be of service that would be helpful and that would inspire some connection? And the community there let me know that they'd been looking to expand the school because the students there were very successful. They wanted more school. And Kololo, the village that I was born in, is very remote. As I said, it's a several hours walk from nearby educational institutions. And so that was something that I thought we could definitely set our mind to, fundraising to expand the school, because clearly there was a desire. And this was something that my community back in LA could help with. And so I set out with some of my dear friends to hold a fundraiser to pay homage to the wonderful example that my mother has been. And we set out to raise $100,000 to build a 5th and a 6th grade so that these students could have a complete primary school education and then middle school. And I'm not going to lie, very daunting. It's a good number. And at the time, we were in our junior year, and like it's just a big undertaking. But we reached out to people that were familiar with process. My mom, she'd done it about 10 years earlier, and so I asked her for her advice and what things worked for her. There were logistically, it was a very large task.
Especially during the early days of the pandemic, right? So you couldn't have a car wash or an auction, an in-person event. So it had to be all online and reaching out via email and stuff. So tell me more about that. Like, what kinds of fundraisers were you able to do during the pandemic?
Yeah, so we decided that we were going to do an art auction and that it was going to be one huge event. And we'd been talking through the process into sort of the end of the pandemic-ish, and end of quarantine, certainly. And so we were looking for an outdoor venue. There were logistical questions like that. And very fortunately, so many people in our community came together, because I think that desire for connection was felt everywhere. People were more than willing to donate. People were more than willing to just show up and be a spare set of hands and just in whatever way they could. And that was within my school community. I went to Crossroads School for the Arts and Sciences in Santa Monica, and I've been there. I was there since first grade, very long time, and almost like family. And I had teachers that were, art teachers were willingly donating artwork, and parents were helping out. Other students were helping out within the Santa Monica community. We had a lot of restaurants offer goods for our event and stuff. It's just really everyone came together to make it happen. And yeah, once we secured that outdoor venue, it was a garden, we were able to really bring it all together.
And where did you get the artwork to auction off? Who were the artists for that?
So we really just cast a wide net, asked anybody and everybody that we could come across. And we wanted to ask, we asked a lot of Ethiopian artists that we'd either met personally or we were connected with friends of friends, teachers, my own art teachers who are professional artists in their own right, donated artwork. We had student artwork. Yeah, just a wide variety. And within the Crossroads community, there was a parent who was a gallery owner, and so she connected us with a lot of. So it was a lot of just tapping into the community, because there really is like a wealth of knowledge, advice, like access just available if you ask.
Of course, 100%. I say this all the time. Everybody that I interview, you have a wonderful idea and you want to execute on it, but you're a teenager and you don't necessarily have a big Rolodex.
Yeah,
sorry for the old phrase. An address book.
Yeah.
You need to tap into older folks. You need to tap into community members who are willing to mentor you, who are willing to share resources and ideas and to teach you, because they've gone down that path before. What I love about this story, though, is it's such an example of where we were so, you know, craving connection with each other and community. And this was something that everybody could rally around. And I think having not had those opportunities for whatever, a year and a half, 2 years, I bet you coming along and saying, we want to do this and we have a specific goal in mind. I'm not surprised that so many people said, I'm in, how can I help? And that's just the power of what we can all do together. So tell me, you had the goal for $100,000. How did that go? Did you raise it all in one shot? What happened there?
Yeah. We made it happen. It worked out at the end of the evening after the event. We had a little over $120,000. And so it was really incredible. And that we sent that money through TESFA back to the school, and they got to building. The event was in December of 2021, and they broke ground in January.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That is a ton of money. It's a huge amount of money. And yet I'm flabbergasted that $120,000 will build a school to be able to educate how many children in the fifth and sixth grade? How many people could they accommodate?
So the school prior to the expansion served around 350 kids. And now with the fifth and sixth grade, that has increased by about 100 students. Yeah.
Still, that's extraordinary. And also, I'm sure they have ways of building that are appropriate to their environment that are not so state of the art that you would need millions of dollars, right? They can probably put something together and make it safe and habitable and pleasant for the kids, but it doesn't have to be like super fancy. I'm curious if you've been able to go there and see it, and were you a part of it at all?
that was the kind of second part of our goal. It was a pipe dream. That's what I thought, at least, was maybe we'd be able to visit and see the product of our work. And very fortunately, the opportunity arose in spring of 2023, so about a year ago, as of the time of recording. Me and my family and a group of about five others, students that helped with the fundraiser and a teacher that helped with the fundraiser, we all traveled to the school and saw it. It looked incredible. That was my first time back since I was adopted. I've been working to support the school very remote. I've never really seen it. And so it really just actualized all of this work. And it was really just so touching. And really, I think, most fulfilling moment of my life, I can say with certainty. But yeah, it was incredible. And yeah, you going there, and I've had conversations with the other group members that traveled with me, going there, it really shone a light on exactly how much we can do with relative, you know, in a community like that. It's a crazy comparison to make. The high school that I attended was a private school, and tuition for one student at my private school now can support covering the tuition for nearly the entire student body for
everybody. Of course. Please, we couldn't possibly get into that conversation about or what your parents are paying for a year of Northwestern. I happen to have a student there myself and a graduate. So it's a lot of money that we spend on education here and bricks and mortar as well. And there, the money can go a lot further. I'm curious, when you were putting this all together, you obviously said it was an all hands on deck thing, but did you find any obstacles or did you ever worry that you weren't going to make your goal? And then what were you going to do? What are the challenges that you faced and how did you overcome them?
I think, oh my gosh, one of the biggest challenges that I had personally was working with my peers, taking a sort of leadership or point position. It was very difficult, especially with like really close friends, to direct their kind of action. And that was an interesting dynamic to negotiate and figuring out how to delegate tasks and stuff. That got to be very difficult, but that was a steep learning curve, but I think very necessary. And moving forward, that will be an experience that I look back on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for raising that, because I don't think many people talk about you do a group project and they don't often say it's hard to sometimes be a leader amongst your peers and tell people that they have to do things a certain way or that they're doing things in a way that's not helpful. Those are my children who've gone through college and one that I have in high school. Group projects are tough, because it feels like one person does a lot more work than another person, and yet everyone's going to be graded the same, right? And in this instance, everybody had to do their jobs in order for you to raise all of that money. And sometimes people don't always pull their weight. And I think you're right, putting yourself in a position where you have friends, it's tough to work with friends on situations like this. So thanks for raising that. I'm curious how you feel like you came out of all of that. Did the friendships remain, everything? I know it was super successful, so that at the end, it was all good.
Yeah, I think definitely my relationships remain strong, and certainly. But yeah, I think making sure that everyone was on the same page about what are we really trying to do here, and just the scale and how important it was, because the slacking really wasn't an option. And then, yeah, and one thing that I did figure out very quickly was, like, when things didn't go right, just like water under the bridge, just got to move past it. And like, how do we really address whatever the problem is? And that,
I think the most successful people, and I've had a few people on the podcast who've expressed this really beautifully, especially young people who are like, poof, oh, that didn't work. Let it go. There is the ability to let it go and to, like you said, water off a duck's back. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try this. That person said no. Who else are we going to ask? To hear no, or to have something fall apart, and then to be able to say to yourself, well, it's not ruined. What else can we do to make this work? Is a skill set that you're going to use throughout your life.
Yeah.
It's going to be very valuable to you and in family life and in professional life. But I do think that your generation has this kind of beautiful way of just like asking the hard questions. If you don't get the answer you want, you just move on to the next person. And that's super important, not to take things personally. If someone says no to you, if you've asked them for a donation and they say no, okay, somebody else is going to say yes, right? Miazi, this is really amazing. Obviously, raising $120,000 is incredible. Building a school for children in the fifth and sixth grade to extend their education is amazing. This is obviously so personal for you, and which is what makes it so beautiful. Miazi, this has been a really wonderful conversation. I'm so glad I got to meet you. Thank you so much for sharing it. Do you have an Instagram or a social media or a website or anything where people might be able to learn more?
Yes, Kids for Kalolo has an Instagram page, which I'm sure Natalie can share. And I would encourage students to look at the Dillerstein Tikkun Olam Awards, which I will also share that with you, Natalie. If you have work that you guys do that you're proud of, there's the applications are open, and it's an opportunity to just share your work and be proud of yourself.
Miazi, thank you so much for this conversation. It was really beautiful. It was so nice to meet you. I'm wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others. And always, be kind.